Okay, good morning. I want to thank everyone for coming, and may our learning be a merit. Le'ilui nishmas, me'ira chai, nechama bracha, le'a shalom, bastav and Mordechai. Yesterday we did complete the entirety of the blot of Daf Yud Zayin, but let's go back to the Mishnah all the way on the top of Yud Zayin with Beis, because today's Daf really continues the discussion that began there. So again, Mishnah says, mashlu mashal, mashal mashlu chachamim be'isha. The sages gave a parable about a woman's anatomy. There's the cheder, the womb, then a prosdor, a hallway, ha'aliyah, an upper cavity, sort of like a second floor. Dama cheder tame, blood of the womb is tame. Dama aliyah, the blood from the cavity is tahor, because there's no menstrual blood there. Whatever blood's coming from there is damaka, blood of a wound. Nimtza beprosdor, if you have blood down in the prosdor, in the hallway, which is next to the cheder, right next to the womb, sfeiko tame. If you're not sure, it's still tame. Lefisha cheskasam and amakor, because you can be very confident that it came from the womb, that it came from the cheder. So here, the art scroll has this diagram, this sort of cross section. This is the cheder, the womb. As it narrows, it becomes a prosdor. Then there is the exit from the body. A little bit past the exit from the body, there is this little sort of canal. And above the canal, there's this cavity, the aliyah. So the Mishnah is saying, if you have blood over here in the prosdor, it's tame. Probably came from the cheder. If you have blood that you know came from here, then it's tahor, because that's not the blood of the womb. It's other blood. It's blood that certainly came from a wound, and it's okay.
But how do we know where that blood's coming from? They went in there? Is that what they're...
Well, we're going to see. The Gemara is going to say, what happens if you have blood over here?
So they were sticking stuff in there, I guess. But like, how do they know?
She would check herself. Maybe she only checked on that side. The cloth, and it came out.
So how does she know if blood came from the womb or it came from, you know, from the top part?
So, reading the Mishnah, it sounds like if the blood is back here in the prosdor, in this part of the prosdor, then you know it's from the womb. If the blood is in the lul, or if the blood was over here, right next to it, it's probably from here.
Oh, I see.
And now says the Gemara, Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak, Braid Rav Yehuda, Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, we're going to call them the students. The students, Tanu Nida Bei Rav Huna, we're learning all the topics of Nida in the yeshiva of Rav Huna. Then Ashkechinu Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Then Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, met them, and he listened in to what they were saying. Yasvi, they were sitting, the students, they were saying the following. Hacheder mi bifnim. They said that the womb, the cheder, is towards the back of a woman's body. It's on the inside. Haprozdor mi bachutz. The prozdor is towards the outside. Aliyah bnuya al shtehem. This cavity is built over both of them. It's higher than them. Therefore, lo pasuach, and there is a passageway open bein aliyah leprozdor, between the aliyah and the prozdor. And they say the following: nimtza min halul vilifnim. If the blood was found from the passageway closer to the inside of the body, then it's only sfeiko tame. It's a safek tame. It's only a tumma out of doubt. In other words, if this woman checked herself and she only put her finger till here, which is past the lul towards the womb, so then she takes out the cloth and finds that it's bloody, she's safek tame. Why? Because maybe the blood came from here. Maybe the blood came from here. And you say, well, why would the blood from here going to go back here, further up in the body? It's going to roll out. It's not going to go up in the body. Because maybe she moved. Maybe she, you know, arched her back. And so the blood came up to there. So it's only safek tame. It's rule tame based on a safek. We don't really know. Right? It may have been that she moved her, maybe the blood from the makor, but maybe it's not. So it's safek tame. However, if it is min alul v'lachutz, If the blood was from the passageway and further out towards the exit of the body, so the blood is found over here, not found over here. So then if the blood was found further out, so then sfeiko tahor, then we're not sure, but we rule it as tahor. In other words, we're not sure, but we do rule it as tahor. So according to them, if the blood is closer to the body, it's tamei misafek. If the blood is closer to the exit of the body, then it is tahor, because it probably didn't come from the womb. If it would have come from the womb, it would have been out of the body by then. It wouldn't be in this part of the prosdor. So now, this was the son heard the students say this. So he figured the students heard it from his father. Asav amar le'avo. So he went to his father, Rav Huna. He said, how did you say such a thing? Sveiko tamei amrat lan mar. Did our master say that when you have blood closer to the body, really right next to the womb, that blood is only tamei misafek? V'anan, but in our Mishnah it said, cheskasom in amakartznan. When you have blood in the prosdor, there's a presumption that it comes from the womb. The Mishnah seems to be saying not that it's tamei misafik, it's tamei vada. It's certainly tamei. The Mishnah said, if you have blood here in the prosdor, where did it come from? It comes from the womb. That's where it all, that's the flow of the blood. To say that it came from up here and then flew back up into the body doesn't make sense. So it came from the womb, and it's tummy. So the Mishnah said that when you find blood in such places, it's certainly tummy. Not that it's only tummy misafik. Now there's a big difference. If someone's only tummy misafik, and they touch truma, so you can't eat the truma, but you also can't burn the truma, because maybe it's tummy, maybe it's not tummy. If someone is only tummy misafik, maybe they're tummy, and they walk into the Beit HaMikdash, so we'd say, you shouldn't do that. We would stop them from walking in if we could, but if we didn't, and they walked in, we would say, hey, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, but you may have been tamei, so you did a wrong thing. Could they bring a karban? No, they can't bring a karban, because it may be chulin ba'azara. It may not be the right karban. So there are lots of differences between whether someone is certainly tamei or possibly tamei. So the son said to the father, the students are walking around saying that when there's blood in that passageway, in the hallway, closer to the body, that it's probably tummy. What do you mean probably tummy? The Mishnah says it's certainly tummy, not probably tummy. So he said, did you really say that it's only probably tummy? But we learned that it's presumably from the womb. It's certainly from the womb. Amarle. So Rav Huna, the father, said back to the son, this is what I was saying. What I say, as we have the students, and now we have the teacher. He said, I say like this, if the blood was found from the passageway closer towards the womb, towards the body, it's in this hallway, but it's towards the body, towards the cavity inside the body, towards the womb. Vadai tameh. It's certainly tameh. But if the blood was found in the part of the passageway that's external to the the blood was found in the hallway, in the part that's external to the passageway, sfeiko tame. I'm not going to say it's certainly tahor the way my student said. I say that it might be tame, because maybe they're right. Maybe it came from the cavity. Maybe it's tahor. On the other hand, maybe she leans over. Yeah. And when she leans over, maybe she jerked her body forward. Blood burst from, the inner womb, and it jumped to that part of the prosdor, that part of the hallway that's outside of her body. So
you said if it's a suffix, it's always we assume it's a tamay anyhow. So what kind of argument is this we're doing here?
No, so Rav Huna, the question is there even a suffix? Is there even something to think about? Rav Huna is saying, even though the blood, that's tamei blood, is coming from here, so the normal passageway, the normal route of the tamei blood coming from here is that it comes down and it drips out of the body. Why would there be blood from the womb all the way over here? So it could be that she jerked her body, some of that. Now, it's more likely that it's blood from a wound in the cavity that dribbles down to here. That's more likely. So Rav Huna says there is a possibility, though, that it's from the Tumah, because we do worry that she may have moved, and therefore she is Safek Tameh. However, if the blood was found down here, then we say, no, 85, 90% is coming from the womb. So therefore, it's already a certain Tumah. That's not a Safek Tumah. That's the view of Rav Huna. Now, his students had said, this area is Safek Tumah, and this area is Tahor. That's what the students said. But he's saying, no, he's saying, if the blood is found over there, it's certainly Tameh. The blood is found in the other spot, it's maybe Tameh. And now we have the view of Abaye. Abaye said, Amar Abaye, Abaye said, no, I don't agree. I said, I feel like this. Abaye said, "My shnamin alov lachut tesfeko tame. Why is it that if you find the blood, according to Rav Huna, external to the passageway, towards the outside of the body, that it's safek tame? Why is it safek tame? The more likely thing is that it's blood of the cavity that rolled down. So why is it safek tame, possibly being tame? Yeah. That's good. Why is it tame? The dilma, because maybe." Shachta, maybe she, you know, lunged forward. Umecheder asa. And therefore the blood that's in the external part may have really come from the inner room, from the womb. But if that's the case, why are you saying, Rav Huna, that if the blood is closer to her body, to the insides of her body, closer to the womb, then it's certainly Tameh. But maybe Ema is Dakra. Maybe she backed, you know, she suddenly jerked her back. And so be doing that, ume'aliyah asa, the blood from the cavity may have gone back up into that area. So therefore it shouldn't be safek, it shouldn't be certainly tameh, it should only be safek tameh. Therefore elam rabaye, so therefore Abaye says like this. I basach shasha azlit. If you're going to be worried that maybe she threw herself forward, maybe she threw herself backwards, idi v'idi safeku, both cases are a case of safek, and it should be tamei misafek. Ibasar chazaka azlis, and if you're going to follow the normal course of how things occur, so then min aluv lefnim vaday tamei, if the blood is in the passageway closer to the womb, it's certainly tameh. If it's in the passageway but closer to the external, to the outside, it is vadai tahor. It is certainly tahor. So in other words, Abaye has two opinions. In total, there are four opinions here. Right? The four opinions are Rav Huna's students. That's the first opinion. Rav Huna's students say, blood found in the rear, closer to the womb, is safek tameh, maybe tameh, so it's tameh mi safek. Blood towards the body, towards the external part of, towards the outside of the body, right? Menalov lachut, from the passageway outside, is certainly tahar. Rav Huna himself says, no, blood found closer to the womb is certainly tameh. Blood found in the external part is safek tameh. Abaye in the first opinion says, the first version of Abaye is, wherever the blood is, both closer to the body and closer to the outside of the body, is safek tameh, because when it's outside of the body, we're worried maybe she lunged forward. When it's inside of the body, it's only safek tameh, because maybe she lunged back. And then finally you have the second view of Abaye, that we don't follow any fear of her moving this way or that way. We just look at the normal course of events. So if we look at the normal course of events, that which is towards the outside of the body is certainly tahor, and that which is towards the inside of the body is certainly tameh. So now, why did I go back over all of this? Because what the beginning of today's daf is going to do is we're going to now have a brisa, and we're going to try to resolve this brisa according to each of these four opinions. Okay, yeah, question, Seth? You have a question?
So Rabbi, they didn't do an autopsy.
That's right.
So what was going on? How did they know? It's more of a practical question. How did they know what's going on in the body? How did they have such exposure? What was going on?
Maybe they learned from non-Jews, from Greek scientific works, and I think. Maybe they had Ruach HaKodesh. Also,
the need of blood is continuous, it's repetitious.
Okay.
But this is like one shot.
She found blood here.
So there is no repetition here. So isn't that a some kind of a?
No, but it may have been at the time of the month when she's expecting the need of blood. She checked her. She finds herself having blood. So she has to assume she's tummy. Okay, now we get to the Braisa. We'll be starting today's daf now. Tani Rebchia, Rebchia taught in a Braisa. Dama nimtza beprozdor. If there's blood in the passageway, chayav and alav al bias mikdash. If a woman walked, a woman found blood in the prozdor, and then she walks into the temple, she needs to bring a carbon chatas. Visarfin alav esatruma. And if a woman touches truma, we burn the truma. So this is what? Safik tuma or certain tuma? Certain tuma, right? If we're going to burn truma, if we're going to make her bring a karban, that means that we're sure that she's tummy. So Rav Chisda says that blood in the prozdor makes her certainly tummy. Now it doesn't say where in the prozdor though. But Rav Chisda said blood in the prozdor is certainly tummy. So that doesn't work. Certainly doesn't work with the view of Abaye that says that it's always going to be a suffix. Maybe she went forward, maybe she went back, whatever it is, it's a suffix. That clearly doesn't work with that. Okay, we're going to see. Rav Ktina, Rav Ktina said, no, if you find blood, if she finds blood in the passageway, ain chayav and olav al bias mikdash, if she walks into the temple, she doesn't have to bring a karban. Vein sof and olav asat truma, we're not going to burn the truma because she's only safek tamei. Okay, so now, l'hach lishan d'amar Abaye, according to this version of Abaye, he said, listen, I'd be okay with you. You're always worried about things. You're worried that maybe she moves forward, maybe she moves backwards. So then it's Yele Lev Ktina. That works, according to Rev Ktina, says that she is Safek Tameh. Upligad Reb Chia. And it would be against the view of Reb Chia who holds that she's definitely Tameh. That's right. It's against Reb Chia. Right? So the version that says that she's always a Safek doesn't work with Reb Chia. Now, L'ach Lishan Damit Benel, according to the version of Abaye, Ibasa Chazak Azlit, who said, no, that she's certainly tummy if the blood is closer to the womb, and she's certainly tahor if the blood is closer to the exit of the body. That is Sayel Reb Chia. That works according to Reb Chia, who says that certain places the blood is certainly tummy. You'll have to say that only when it's closer to the womb, it's certainly tummy. Upligad Reb Ktina. That's against Reb Ktina, who says that it's only a suffix. Now, the Rav Huna. What about Rav Huna? Rav Huna says that it depends where the blood is. If the blood is closer to the womb, Rav Huna said it's certainly tummy. If the blood is on the external part, then it is a suffix, maybe tummy. So now the Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, lo pligi, Rav Chia and Rav Ktina are not even arguing. Because Kam in a Lov Lifnim, when Reb Chia says that when there's blood in the passageway, when she touches Truma, you have to burn the Truma and all of that, that's when the blood is closer to the womb. However, Kam in a Lov Lachot, but in the case of Rav Ktina, who said that it was a Safek Tameh, that's when the blood was on the outside. Okay. So now ask the Gemara, El Rami Bar Shmuel, El Rav Yitzchak Ben Rav Yehuda, the Amri. But now what are we going to do with the students? How we began the Gemara. Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Ben Rav Yehuda, they say, they say if the blood is in the passageway towards the external, towards the exit of the body, it's tor entirely. Because it probably came from the aliyah, it probably came from the attic, it came from the cavity. But if the blood is closer to the womb, sfeiko tame, then it's only tame misafek. So hani b'mayim mitukma. So now how are they going to reconcile Rav Chia and Rav Ktina? If they're going to say that if it's from the little closer to the womb, they're going to argue with Rav Chia. Who are they to argue with Rav Chia? Rav Chia holds it certainly tame. According to them, there's no such thing as anything being ever certainly tame. There's only a suffix tuma, and then there's certainly tahara. Tumas lo kasha, no, they can reconcile with Reb Chia too. Kan kishenimtza bekarka prozdor. When Reb Chia said that the blood makes her certainly tame, it's when the blood was on the floor of the passageway. Vikan, but when did they say it's only suffix tame? is kishenimtza begag prosdor, when the blood is on the roof of the passageway. Why would the blood be on the roof of the passageway? Again, if we look at this diagram, right, the normal course of the blood is to flow out like this from the bottom and flow out. Why is there going to be blood up here? Must be something was going on with her body. She was jumping around or something. Okay, so if she's jumping around, then you don't know that the blood is from here. It could be that the blood even came from here, bounced down here and jumped up there. So that's where it's safek tamei. Where did the B'chiyah say it's certainly tamei? If you find the blood down over here, on the bottom of the passageway, on the floor of the passageway. So then the normal course is that it came from the womb, and they would agree to that, that that would be certainly tamei. Okay, so now we move on to general topic, a little bit not so nidza-oriented, and that's the question of rov. When we follow majority, how confident are we that the majority is right? Is it that we're really not so sure, but we'll follow the majority? Or no, if there's a majority, we are 100% sure that this is with the majority. So Rabbi Yochanan said, B'shloshim makomos, in three areas, as we're going to see, three areas of tumah, the sages follow majority, and they say the majority is the equivalent of a certainty. So one is this issue, the makor, the blood that we find in the womb. Two, not really the blood in the womb, it's the blood that we find in the prosdor, the blood that we find in the passageway leading from the womb, the hallway from the womb. We say that no, that blood, since it likely came from the womb, it's 90% from the womb, it's certainly from the womb, as the Mishnah says. Mm-hmm. The second one is the issue of the shilya. The shilya is the afterbirth, the discharge that comes after a birth. Mm-hmm. And finally, there's the issue of chaticha, human limb that comes out of a woman. All right, let's see these cases. Makar, hadza amara. Makar is what we just said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if there is blood in the prosdor, cheskaso min hamakor, the presumption is that it comes from the womb. So therefore, we're not really 100% sure. There are scenarios where you could construct a case where that blood didn't come from the womb. You could say it came from the aliyah. You could say other things. But nevertheless, we follow the rov, and that rov is treated as a vadai, as a certainty. Right? As we said, if the blood is on the floor of the prosdor, everybody agrees that it's certainly tummy. So okay. It's a rove, even though it's a rove, the rove is like a vada. The rove makes it a certainty. Now, what's the case of the afterbirth? Shilya, the shilya that's not in the Mishnah. Shilya babayas. Let's say a woman had a birth and then the shilya comes out of her. The babayas tummy, and that shilya is in the house. The whole house is now tummy. Now, there was no body, it was just the shilya.
Interesting.
Not that the shilya is presumed to be a child. There's no way that there would be this afterbirth unless there had first been a child. And so, even though we don't see a child, we assume that the child died and then it disintegrated into the shilya, but it did create a tumah now throughout the house.
Doesn't the child die out of the womb or in the womb?
Out of the womb, as we're going to see. Out of the womb.
So the hospitals are real tummy places, rather.
Yeah, for many reasons. Yeah, there are dead bodies there. Yeah, that's why the hospital in Netanya that was built by the Klosenberger Rebbe.
Yeah.
So it was the first Hasidisha hospital. He has an alarm system that when someone is dying, someone's a goseis, the alarm goes off, and it tells the Kohanim to leave. And they built it with doors to close the doors in certain areas to the tumor will be sure. Stuck here and move to other areas. Wow. Yeah. Okay, good. So She'ain Shilya Belovlad. There's no afterbirth without a child. Rabbi Shimon says, no. This is the point that David brought up. It's possible that the child disintegrated before it came out. Therefore, there was no tumor. Okay, so there again where we see it's a rove, right? We don't know for sure that there was a Vlad. We're just assuming. We're presuming that the child was born and then it disintegrated. It's not 100% certainty. We didn't see that. We see that the rove creates a certainty. What's the third case where the rove creates a certainty? Chaticha, the case of a woman who has a miscarriage of pieces of a body. That's not in the Mishnah. Mapelas yad chatucha v'regel chatucha. A woman miscarried a hand, miscarried a foot. Imo tmeya leida. We said that the woman is tamei. She gave birth. Now, we don't know whether she gave birth to a boy or a girl. So we'll say that it'll have all the chumros. Instead of having only the tumas leida of a week, which is for a boy, we'll say it'll be for 2 weeks. But instead of having the tahara of a girl of 66 days, it'll only be the tahara of a boy, which would have been a total of 33 days, but the 7 days were taken away. So it'll only be 26 days of tahara. And we're not saying, well, maybe it came from a body that had never developed, and therefore it's not even considered a childbirth. So again, even though there's a possibility that it came from an undeveloped child, from a body that never developed, we don't say that. So we follow the robe as a certainty. So now ask the Gemara, Vesu Leka. There are only three cases where we follow robe as a certainty. Vayika, what we have, we learned earlier in Shas, Tishachanuyos. We have the concept of Kavua versus Parush, based on a pasuk, the Gemara says in Psachim, when you have a doubt, but your doubt is about something in a set place, it's treated like 50-50. When the doubt is about something that's separated from an area, then you look at the majority. So we have the famous case of the meat found in the street, right? The time under the brisa, Teshachanuyos. There are 9 stores on the street, Kulan Mochos Besar Shkuta. They're all selling kosher meat. Va'achas, and there's one store which is Mocheres Besar Nevela that sells the non-kosher meat. Now, the question is, the issue is going to be, what was the question about? If it was at Lakach Me'achas Mehen, I went into one of the stores, I just don't remember which one. Eni Odea Me'eze. So that's Eni Odea Me'eze Men Lakach. I don't know which store I bought from. That's a question of Kavua. My question is about something that's set in place. Did I go into the store that's kosher or the store that's non-kosher? So since Kavua is like 50-50, it is prohibited. However, but if I find meat on the street, so now I know it went out of the set place, I follow the majority, and I can eat it. So you see, I'm 100% sure that it's kosher. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan list that? Answer the Gemara. When Rabbi Yochanan says there are three cases of rove that become a majority, three cases where the majority is like a certainty, that was in Tumah Kamrinan, in the laws of impurity. Isser lo kamrinan. He wasn't talking about the laws of kosher and non-kosher prohibitions. He wasn't talking about. There are other cases of prohibitions also where we follow the majority to the point of being 100% certain about the majority.
Rabbi, why wouldn't we say the same thing when he walks into the store? If there are 10 stores, so the 9 of them are kosher, one is not. The 90% probability.
It's not a question of probability. It's that the question is about something stationary. Did he walk into the kosher store or to the non-kosher store? It's about something which is we know is here. There's something set. So that's already considered like 50-50. The law of majority has to be that it's separated out. It's moved out of being set. Moved out of being in one established place. Where did this meat come from? I don't know. Where did the meat come from? I don't know. So now we look at the majority. It's a pasuk. So now the Gemara says, even in regards to laws of Tumah, there are other cases where we follow a majority. The case of Shratzim, Ma'ika Tisha Tzfardim. Let's say there are 9 frogs. And then the 10th thing looks like a frog, but it's not a frog. It's actually a Tumah thing. It's a toad, a sheretz. Sheretz Echa Beinam. And you had a dead sheretz there. Then a guy touched one of these 10 things. He doesn't know what he touched. Maybe he doesn't know what he touched. So it's a suffix, right? It's a suffix now. He doesn't know what he touched. And it's kavua. Yep. We're talking about something set in place. He doesn't know which thing he touched. If it's in a private domain, it's suffix tumah in a private domain, it's tummy. If it's a in a public domain, tzveiko tar. If he's not sure, it's tar.
Interesting.
But if it was, you know, something which isn't that he touched, something was found from this group, the item left the group and then it was touched, then Aleich HaCharov, now you follow the majority. And we say it's certainly tar. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan list this? And so the Gemara, when we said Rabbi Yochanan is listing cases of majority that are certainty, some of the Isha Kamrinan, it's within the laws of a woman's impurity. Either the issues of Nida, the blood of Nida coming from the Makor, or coming from the Aliyah, or the issues of Leida, whether a birth of pieces is considered like a birth of that we say that this woman had a whole being coming out of her, or whether there's a Shilya, we assume a being came out of her. But Tuma Ba'am Alokar, I mean, he's not listing all the cases of Tuma where there's majorities and minorities. So Gemara says, but even within the laws of a woman's tuma, there should have been another case listed. Ha'ika adam Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. We have the lesson of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says like this: Avra banar, if a pregnant woman walks through a river, now starting Yud Ches some days, v'pila, and she has a miscarriage in the river, and the river takes the baby away. So we don't know what it was. We don't know. So what is the law? Mevi'a karban v'nechal. So she brings a karban, and this karban is considered a kosher karban of a yoledes. It's eaten. If it wouldn't be a kosher karban, it couldn't be eaten because Malika would make it into a nevela. So why is this so? Halech hacha rov anashim. Because we say most women, rov nashim vlad mal yaldim, they give birth to babies. So she was pregnant. She probably gave birth to a baby. And it wasn't, you know, just a clump of earth. I mean, clump of tissue. We assume right. It was a baby with the face of a baby and the organs of a baby that would have tumas leida. So you see, we're following a rove.
She doesn't know if it's a boy or girl.
That's true. That's fine, but at least we know that she has to bring a carbon yoledes.
Yeah.
So Mara says, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan list that? Because that's just from Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who's in Amora. Masnizan Garmina, he was listing things that are taught by Tanaim. Shmaitzalo Karmina, he wasn't teaching things taught by Amoraim. But that's the Gemara. But really, this law has a support from a Mishnah. Vakyasa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came from Israel to Bavel, he said, Masa Rav Yossi bar Rav Chanina. Rav Yossi bar Chanina challenged Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi from the Mishnah about Toa. V'lo yadana maitzi yufta. I didn't even know. Ravin said, I don't know what the question is. My love wasn't the point of Ravin. Lo'av to yufta. It was, I didn't see the question because actually the Mishnah is a siyata. The Mishnah is a support for it. So if there's a mission that's a support for the lesson of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, then Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is also a Tanaitic lesson where you see that in the laws of a woman's purity and impurity, we follow a majority like a certainty. Says the Gemara, lo, that's not what Ravin meant. When Ravin said, I don't understand what the question is, he says, doma lo to yufta v'lo siyata. I don't see the mission as being a question. I don't see it as being a support either. But not that it's a support, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan didn't list it, because Rabbi Yochanan's listing Tanaitic lessons where the majority is like a certainty in regards to laws of a woman's purity or impurity. So now, Rabbi Yochanan listed three cases where the majority is like a certainty. A woman who checks herself and finds blood inside the prosdor, even though we're not 100% sure that it came from the makor, we treat it as 100% sure. A woman who has a discharge of shilya, of the afterbirth, all this material that comes out of her normally after a birth. So we say, even though this material came out, and we didn't see a baby come out, we assume that if this material came out, there was a baby that came out and it disintegrated into this material. And number three, if a woman suddenly has coming out of her leg, some of what comes out of her is the hand. Again, we assume that that hand, that leg, came from a full body, and therefore it creates tuma.
What is the Indian rabbi about hand to our origin? What is this making any difference?
Yeah, that somehow there was a body inside of her, a fetus, with a hand, and somehow it got detached and it came out. The hand came out, but it came out from
what
a full...
7 days, 14 days?
Yeah.
Which one?
it would be 14 days of Tumah Misafik. 14 days of Tumah. And then only 26 days of Tahara. Because we know during the Yemei Tohar, whatever blood comes out is Tahara. So this would only be 26 days. You can't give it 66 days. Now the Mu'utei Mai, what was Rabbi Yochanan excluding by listing three cases? He's excluding something. If he's trying to exclude a case of a majority that has a chazaka with it, in other words, where there's a chazaka against the majority, there was a status quo that was against the majority, and saying in such a case, lo sefrin aleis truma, there we wouldn't burn truma because that would not be a vadai. Rabbi Yochanan already said that once. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Tino kanimtza besada isa uvatzik biyada. There's a young baby, a young child, I don't know, 1 year old, 2 year old, 1.5-year-old. Kid who's crawling around, getting into the messes. Who's next to dough with... He's next to a bowl of dough with a piece of dough in his hand. Rabbi Meir Metaher. Rabbi Meir says that the dough is tahar. V'chacham metame. Chacham say it's tame. Why? Shedarko shel tinok v'tapeach. Because it's the normal way of a child to play in trash. So since a child plays in trash, we assume that the child touched a sheretz. And therefore, if he now has this dough, the dough is tummy. So now, what's the view of Rabbi Meir? He says the dough is tar. I mean, we said my time is Rabbi Meir. What's the reason of Rabbi Meir? Because Savar, he does agree that Rov Tinokos Metaprin. He does agree that most children play in trash. But Miyut ain't Metaprin. There is a minority that doesn't play in trash, but Isazu, this dough, before we had saw a child holding dough from it, Becheskas Taro Medas. It was tar. It was tar. So now, smoch mi'uto l'chazakas. Even though there's only a minority of kids that are not tamei, we can put this minority together with the pre-existing status of the dough. The Israelei ruba, and that's enough to weaken the majority, and therefore the dough is tar. The Rabbanan, though, they disagree. They say, no, Rabbanan will say mi'uta, this minority of kids that doesn't play in the trash, it's as if it doesn't exist. We only think about the majority, that most kids do play in the trash. Therefore, you have a rove saying that the dough is tame. On the other hand, you have a chazaka saying that the dough is tar. It was tar. It's probably still tar. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. When you have a question of a majority against a chazaka, the majority wins, and it's certainly tame. V'amar Rish Lakish Shem Rav Shaya. Rish Lakish said in the name of Rav Shaya, Zoi Chazaka. Now he's using the word Chazaka as a rove. He said, this is a case of a majority. Even though he says the word Chazaka, it doesn't mean Chazaka, it means a majority. Presumption. This is a case of a presumption based on a majority. Shesarf and Alas Hachumah. Because the majority of kids poke around in the trash, we're going to burn
the
Chuma based on what they did. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein zo chazaka shesorf in aleha es hachuma. This presumption, the majority of kids touching the trash, is not strong enough to burn the truma. So, if the point is, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, there are three times where the rove is so strong and it's like a certainty, but there's some case where rove is not so strong, it's not like a full certainty. Here is a case where rove is not like a full certainty because it's coming up against the chazaka. We wouldn't burn the truma for it. We already learned that. So what do we need to have Rabbi Yochanan for? Ella, so why did Rabbi Yochanan say there are three cases of rove that are a certainty? To exclude the following. To exclude the situation of rove of Rabbi Yehuda. That's not learned in a Mishnah. Hamapelas chaticha. A woman was pregnant, and then what comes out of her is just a fragment of tissue. Yim yesh ima dam. If with this fragment there is blood, Tmeya, the woman is tummy. Vimla, but if there's no blood, Tahora, she's tar. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Benkachu, Benkach Tmeya. Even if there's no blood, she is tummy. Now, Vam Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said, Name of Shmuel. Lotim Rabbi Yehuda, Lebechaticha, Shal Arba, Minei Zamim. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that she's tummy just with the fragment? If the fragment has the color of blood, that would make a woman tummy. We're going to see the different shades of red. That's the next stuff. So if it's one of those shades of red, it would make her tummy. But if it's some other type of color, red, she would be tar. Rabbi Yochanan said, if the color of the fragment was one of the four types of blood, everybody she agrees she's tummy. If it's some other type of blood, everybody agrees she's tar. The argument is where she had a fragment. She doesn't know what it was. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Zil Basa Rov Chatichos. Let's look at the majority of fragments. Rov Chatichos Shal Arba Minei Dam Avyam. Most fragments are one of the four types of blood. So therefore we assume that she is a Nida. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan Hold, no. Zil Basa Rov Chatichos Lormin. We don't say let's look at the majority. We say there is no such majority. And therefore, we follow her chazaka. She was tahora, and she stays tahora. So this is the point that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yehuda, who follows a majority, he wouldn't say that this majority is a vada, is a certainty. He wouldn't say that a woman who had a discharge of a piece, that, and we don't see the piece, that we're going to now say, okay, we're going to burn truma because of that. We're going to treat it as a suffix tame, treat it as probably tame. We won't let her touch truma, but if she did touch truma, we're not going to burn it. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda said there are three cases of rove, which are a certainty, but there are other cases of rove which are not treated as a certainty.